1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Amplified translation is just what the title suggests. It amplifies the verse. Casting the whole of your care, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your cares or concerns, once and for all. So you don't have to keep doing it over and over again. Because if you do that, you really haven't turned it over to him. Once you turn it over to him and cast it on him, then he has it and you don't have it anymore. Amen? Once and for all upon him, for he careth about you affectionately and for you watchfully. I'm glad he does. Hallelujah. It's because he does care for us affectionately and love us that he told us to cast our cares upon him. So he wants us carefree, anxiety-free. He don't want us to carry all of those things, but turn them over to him, and he'll work on them while we're sleeping. The reason a lot of prayers aren't answered is just simply because folks hold on to those things. And as long as you have it, then he doesn't have it. And so what we must do is cast. Amen? Cast. Scripture in the Old Testament, somebody talked about rolling it on him. Well, that's the same thing. Just roll it over on him. Praise God. Now, that isn't always the easy thing to do from the natural standpoint. From the fleshly standpoint. Or your natural mind. Your mind hasn't been renewed with the Word of God as yet. And, of course, your flesh will side in with your mind. But you have to do what God said do, or what Paul, the Holy Ghost through Paul said to the saints at Rome, with your body and your mind, and then your spirit will be dominating you. You know, he said, "Wherefore I beseech you, brethren," Romans 12:1, "by the mercies of God, that you do something with your body." Now, God's not going to do anything with your body. You're going to have to do it. Amen. "That ye," now we don't say ye and thee and thou today. In other words, that you, writing to the saints in Rome, see, Romans 1:7, he addresses this letter to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And it applies to all that be in Tulsa, beloved of God, and called to be saints, or wherever you are from. "Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto God," see, unto him, unto God, "a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service." I like one of the modern translations which said, "which is your spiritual worship." To present your body to God, hallelujah, and to be sanctified is your spiritual worship. You're really worshiping God spiritually. Because you have to do that with your spirit. Now notice what it said in the second verse. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Hallelujah. So notice here that he talks about the body and the mind, and you're to do something with each one of them. God's not. He's not going to renew your mind for you. You get your mind renewed with the Word. He's not going to present your body to himself, because your spirit, the real man, already belongs to him. It's up to you to do something with your body. Too many times folks are wanting God to do it when we're supposed to do it ourselves. Amen. 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 I remember at one time, one church I pastored, there's a lady, she wasn't a member of our church, but she'd come about once every 3 weeks on Sunday night. Never did come in except Sunday night. And as far as we knew, she wasn't a member of our church, but she's a Christian and so on. And so we, in those days, I'm talking about 50 years ago and better, we'd close out every service with a, you know, like Sunday night, we'd give an altar call. We had no prayer room, just one room building. And folk come get saved, folk come be filled with the Spirit. And then we just invite every Christian, come around the altar and pray before you go home. And just practically everybody did. So the altar service would run sometimes from 10, 15 minutes up to an hour. And I guess this night it'd run probably 30 to 45 minutes, people praying. And when they'd get through praying, they'd just get up and leave, see? And so there's just a handful of people left. I don't know whether there's over 10 or 12 people, you know, scattered around, maybe a couple talking here and there. And there was this lady I'm talking about just kept kneeling there in the altar and praying. And And every once in a while, she'd let out a scream, you know, almost like a freight train going through a tunnel. And then she'd say, "Lord, take it away from me. Lord, just take it away from me. You know I don't want it." Go back to praying, then scream again, say that. And I looked at my watch. It's quite early yet. And I thought, well, she won't disturb anybody much. We'll just let her go for a while. And so after talking a little bit to some folks, I went down there. And she was kneeling. The altar bench is here. And she's kneeling on that side facing this way. And so I came on this side and knelt facing her and said to her, "Sister, open your eyes and look at me." And she just kept praying. So I said again, "Sister, open your eyes and look at me. I have a word for you." She just, about that time, said, "Lord!" And just give me a spit back. You know, just hollered, you know what I mean? Said, "Lord, you know I don't want it. Take it away from me." So I just reached across and got her shoulders and shook her real good. Said, "Sister, shut up and open your eyes and look at me." So she opened her eyes. I said, "What is it you don't want? What is it you're trying to get the Lord to take away from you?" "Why," she said, "that old snuff." "Why," I said, "he don't want it. He don't dip snuff. What in the world would he want with it? What's he going to take it away?" "No, he's not going to take it away from you. You're going to have to do something about that yourself. The Bible said if your right eye offends you, pluck it out." "Well, he don't mean for you to run your thumb in behind your eyeball and pull it out. Jesus said if your right hand offends you, said cut it off. He don't mean go out to get you an axe and cut it off. He meant that there's some things in the flesh that you need to pluck out and cut off. And it'll hurt sometimes just about as much as if you had really literally plucked your eye out or cut your hand off. But did you notice? You pluck it out. He's not going to pluck it out. You cut it off." I said, "What you need to do, sister, is just cut that off. If you'll cut it off, then he'll help you." Well, I couldn't give up good old snuff. Bless her heart. Well, she's not going to get any help. You might as well say amen, it's so anyway. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Oh, I know you don't dip snuff, but there's something worse than that that you need to cut off or pluck out. Well, what in the world has that got to do with a prayer life? Well, it has everything in the world to do with it. Because your prayer life's not going to be effective and not be what God wants it to be as long as your flesh and your mind dominate you. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Paul said, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "I keep my body under, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway." God just discarded him because he couldn't use him. His body's ruling him. "I is the inner man. I keep my body. The body's an outer man." Now notice he didn't say, "I keep myself under." See, the body's not the real you. It's a house you're living in. If the body was the real you, he'd have said, "I keep myself under." But he said, "I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection." What's he talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, you remember he said, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man," that's the body, "perisheth," or as the margin said, "is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." And so the inward man's the eye that he's talking about. Now, that's the reason I said from your inward man, from your heart, from your spirit, you cast your cares upon the Lord. Your body will fight you every step of the way. Your natural mind will fight you every step of the way. And it'll be the hardest thing in the world from that natural standpoint, but from the spiritual standpoint, it'll be the easiest thing in the world. You don't want to get born again and walk with Jesus if you don't expect to have some trials and tests. They're going to come. The Bible said, "The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth them out of half of them." All of them. All of them. I don't know where some folks get it. They sure didn't get it from me because I'm teaching the same today that I did 50 years ago. But I think they got the impression that if you walk by faith and live by faith, you just sort of float through life on flowery beds of ease. Well, it'd be wonderful if that was true. But tell you the real truth about it, about the time you think you get settled in pretty good, you're a real faith person, about that time something will come along and knock your head right where your feet were a few minutes before. You'll find out how much faith you've got, whether you really believe what you claim you believe or not. But you see, if my words abide in you, then you'll just stand steady. It'll hold you steady. Thank God for the Word, and thank God for the Holy Ghost. See, He's given us His Word and then sent the Holy Ghost to help us to keep it. We've got a helper on the inside of us, you know. The Greek word translated comforter is also translated, well, it literally means one called alongside to help. But He's not only alongside, He's in us. Amen. He's a helper. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you helpless. I'll send you another helper. Well, we've got the Word and we've got the Holy Ghost. And if you want to really be a person that pleases God, you've got to be a person of the Word first and the person of the Spirit second. Now, you can't follow the Spirit without the Word. You do that, that'll lead you into fanaticism and excess. But always put the Word first. You'll notice that in connection with prayer, now he talks about the Holy Ghost helping us in prayer, and thank God he does, because you remember over in Romans, he speaks about this, you remember? We know not for what to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost, notice what? Helpeth. See, He doesn't do it. He just helps us do it. Helpeth our infirmities, our shortcomings in this case. Because that is a shortcoming. We know not for what to pray as we ought. We know to pray, but we don't always know for what as we ought to know it. But He helpeth. But now notice in connection with prayer, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is always just given as our helper. And we're told here in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice, in the Spirit. It's up to us, you see, to yield to the Holy Ghost. He's our helper. But you see, when it comes to the Word, you put it first. Notice that Jesus put the Word before prayer here in John 15:7. If ye abide in me, well, the way you abide in Him first is to get in Him. The way you get in Him is by being born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The way you stay in Him is to keep in fellowship. Praise God with Him. And then He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask. Notice you put the words before asking. The Word of God always comes first. The Holy Ghost comes second. Amen. He helps us to pray. He helps us. He's our helper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, like I said, the natural mind, if it hasn't been sufficiently renewed, and that's a process to get your mind renewed with the Word of God, because if you don't keep feeding upon God's Word, your mind will revert back to thinking naturally. It's a constant process. Because after all, you remember Paul said, though the outward man perisheth or is decaying, the inward man's renewed. Renewed. Once and for all. No, day by day. Day by day. Day by day. And I'd say that the renewing of the mind is something that has to happen day by day. We constantly and continue to feed upon God's Word. Now here's an entrance to Scripture. Turn over there to 1 Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter. I believe it is. The first chapter of 2 Peter. I believe it is. And about the fourth verse, you can tell me whether it is or whether it isn't. Just came to me at the moment. But you remember I said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises? Well, that's the Word, isn't it? That's the Word of God He's talking about, isn't it? Now notice what happened. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now for what purpose? That by these we might be made partakers of the divine nature. Amen. That's the nature of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you see, it's up to you to do it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. The Holy Ghost can't do it for you. He'll help you. Jesus can't do it for you. God can't do it for you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be made partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to His holy name. So, the Word comes first. Say that out loud. The Word
comes first.
The Word comes first.
The Word comes first.
I tell people all the time, train yourself. In every crisis of life, whatever shows up, ask yourself first, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Just train yourself to think like that. What does the Word say? But you see, like I said, your mind, natural mind, if it's not sufficiently renewed and continue to be renewed with the Word of God, will be a natural mind motivated by all the physical senses and by your body. But you see, we can, from our spirits, though our minds may fight us. You ever have any trouble with your head? That's probably where your greatest trouble is. You know, tell you the real truth about it. Some people get off on the devil. Don't misunderstand me. He is a reality. But right on the other hand, your greatest enemy is not the devil. That's the fellow you looked at in the mirror when you combed your hair or shaved your face. That's the one you're going to have the most trouble with, not the devil. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn back here for just a minute with me to Galatians. I want you to notice something. Yeah, I want you to notice Paul, in writing to the churches, not just one church, the churches of Galatia. Now, he had established these churches, and he wrote this letter, and it's to be passed from church to church and read in all of the churches. He addresses it to the churches, plural, of Galatia. I want you to notice something, just one observation at the moment. Now, the works of the devil are manifest, which are these. No, the works of the flesh. See, people want to lay it off on the devil, of course, he'll help you. But really, they're works of the flesh, he said. He didn't say there's works of the devil, did he? Did you notice that? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now all of them has to do with sexual impurity and immorality. Now notice he didn't say the works of the devil. He said the works of the flesh. Now don't you misunderstand me. The devil will egg you on. The devil will help you. But read, it's works of the flesh. Idolatry, even, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I all told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The point I want to make with you is that that's where you're going to have your most trouble, is with the flesh and with your mind. That's the reason he wanted to get your body presented to God, a living sacrifice. Amen. And your mind renewed. Of course, like I said, the devil will help you. But too many times, folks just want to lay it off on the devil. Well, he wouldn't have anything to work through if it wasn't your flesh. And if you get your mind renewed, your mind's out, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you'd keep your mind stayed on him, the devil wouldn't have anything to work on. People all the time said, well, the devil made me do it. Well, not if you're a Christian, he didn't make you. Because he's not greater than Jesus. And Jesus is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, you'll find that's where your greatest battle is, with the flesh. Your greatest problem with your flesh and with the mind. That's where you need to get them renewed. Hallelujah, presented to God and renewed. He wants transfigured bodies and transformed minds. That's what God wants out of you. You see, he not only tells you to do it, but then he sends the Holy Ghost to help you do it. He's living, he's your helper. Now you see, we're all human. Is anybody here not human? No, we're all human. We all have to deal with the flesh. And after all, because Jesus was living in the flesh, the Bible said he was tempted in all points. Few of them? No. All points like as we are, yet without sin. That's the reason he knows how to have compassion on us. Now he's the only one living in the flesh that ever lived in the flesh, was tempted in all points as we are, and didn't sin. All the rest of us have sinned. Amen?
Amen.
But now then, thank God we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to help us.
Amen.
I know from experience, you know, things will happen in the natural. in this world in which we live. And you know, from the natural standpoint, you understand I'm talking from the natural standpoint, you know. From the natural standpoint, sometimes you want to quit so bad. Even in the ministry, things will happen. Things will happen. I'm speaking naturally, you understand that? And the flesh I'm talking about just wants to give up. And your mind will fight you. But some way or another, I remember some of those times, something on the inside of me. Glory to God. Something on the inside of me just rose up. Well, it was a Holy Ghost in my spirit. Wouldn't let me quit. Wouldn't let me quit. Your mind, things happen in life, you know. And your mind and your flesh said, well, you might as well just throw the towel in the ring. You know what I mean by that expression? In other words, surrender, give up. And that's what you want. Your flesh wanted to do. See, you can't go by your flesh. You wouldn't come to church half the time. Because your flesh better stay in bed and rest, hadn't it? You wouldn't want to pay your tithes if you listen to your head sometimes. It'll fight you every step of the way. But if you'll listen on the inside, something on the inside.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just won't let you quit. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. There have been times I thought, you know, if I'm talking natural now, my flesh, and you know, said, well, just throw the sponge in the ring, forget it. Amen. Just give it up. But something on the inside wouldn't let me. Something on the inside just held me steady. Something on the inside. We ought to say someone. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one. The greater one. I've had the time, you know, since being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and healed by the power of God. And yet I've faced death. And right in the face of it. Right in the face of it, you see, your flesh recoils from it because death's an enemy. God really didn't make us for death. Are you listening to me? Physical death's the last enemy to be put underfoot. But something rose up on the inside of me. I mean, right down in here, out of my spirit, and come up out of my mouth, and right in the face of death, it just started laughing. Just started laughing. Just started laughing. And the devil said, what are you laughing about? I said, I'm laughing at you. What are you laughing at me about? I said, you said I'm going to die. Yeah, that's right, you are. I said, ha, 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 ha. I had a big time laughing. He took off and left. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. In the time of crisis, rose up. Because you see, now it's all back to this. Because you've cast every care on him. Because you've turned it all over to him. Then you're carefree. If a person's carefree, they're happy. If a person's carefree, it'll show up on their face. It'll show up on the outside, you see. Amen? But these things are real and here they come, you know. But right in the midst of the test, right in the midst of the trial, right in the midst of the darkest hour, he rose up on the inside. The Holy Ghost gave illumination to my mind where I could understand and see what's happening, why. Gave direction to my spirit. Praise God that I could direct everything the right way. And in a few moments' time, I'm out of it and out on top. Glory to God. Say it out loud. Greater,
greater
is he
that's in me
than he
that's in the world.
Hallelujah.
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 The greater one
lives in me.
He'll give direction to my spirit.
He'll
give illumination to my mind.
He'll
give strength to my body.
I trust him.
I depend upon him.
I'm not walking by sight.
I'm not walking by feelings.
I'm walking by faith.
Faith in God's word.
He is in me.
He is everything in me. That the word says he is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am what God says I am.
I am
who God says I am.
I have
what God says I have.
I can do
what God says I can do.
Because the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Lives in me.
To help me.
To be
what God says I am.
To help me.
To do
what God says I can do.
What God says I can do. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Well, though, sometimes the Lord will just have us to go over some of these things in a little different direction. A little different point. Casting how much?
All
your care. All your worries. All your anxieties. All your cares. Once and for all. Upon Him. For He careth about you affectionately and for you watchfully. I remember years ago here in this illustration. Of course, back in that day, you know, everybody traveled by trains before we had planes. Oh, this is back in Depression days. And so this fella was walking down the railroad track. He's got a pack on his back and a suitcase in either hand. And he ran on to the section gang. That's a gang that's repairing the tracks, you see. And the foreman, you see, saw him. And he saw the foreman. And the foreman walked up to him just to speak to him, all he's going to do. And the fella set down his suitcases, reached in his pocket, and he said, Now, I've got a ticket. I've got a right to walk down this track. The foreman took a ticket. Look, he said, man, that don't give you any right to walk down this track. That's a ticket. You can check your baggage into the baggage car, and you can ride in the Pullman. And you know, a lot of Christians out of the way. They've got a suitcase in either hand, a backpack on their back. They're on the right track, all right. They're walking down the track, just all stooped over, carrying all the baggage and everything else, when actually they've got a ticket. Glory to God. Jesus purchased it. Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it. Amen. It's already purchased. You can check your baggage in. Glory to God. You don't have to carry that load. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You could be riding instead of walking. And you don't carry the load. The train carries the load. Jesus carries the load. And then when it comes time to eat, you can get in the dining car. Praise God. The 23rd Psalm said He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Right in the presence of our enemies. Yeah, they're real and they're there. But we're not concerned about them. Because we're seated at His table, the Father's table, in the presence of our enemies. But we're not looking at the enemy, we're looking at the table. Glory to God. There's too many people that's sitting at the table, all right, because that's their position. But they're looking at the enemy. Said, look at there. Look at that devil. Look how big he is. Look at this. Well, turn your head around the other way and look at the table. Glory to God. Because that table is spread with everything you need. Hallelujah. There's a great big bowl of victory right in the middle of it. Glory to God. God. Amen. Look at the table. Don't look at the enemies. Look at the table. Praise God. And then be a partaker of what is on the table. Yeah, right in the middle of it, there's a great big bowl of victory. Hallelujah. 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 And do you need healing? Well, Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Matthew that healing's a children's bread. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And right there is a big plate of bread. Said, well, I don't have it. Well, tell them to pass the bread. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and shout. Yes, yours. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Glory! Hallelujah! Don't forget where you're seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you see, you get to looking at it from the natural standpoint, it don't look so good. Let your flesh and your mind start dominating you, but keep looking with the eye of faith. Because what God's Word says is true. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yeah, they're present all right, and some people just keep talking about them and magnifying them. But let's keep talking about the table that He set before us in the presence of our enemies. They're there, they're real all right. We don't deny that. But they can't get up to the table where we are. They can't get up there. And as long as you stay there, they can't get you. But you get up and walk away from the table and the devil can get you. So we're not magnifying him. They're real, all right. Devil, demons, evil spirits, and whatever. Enemies in the presence. Everybody say in the presence. That means they're present. But He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. And I looked all of the dishes over carefully. I couldn't find one bowl that said defeat on it. Glory! Amen! And I looked again real carefully. One end to the other. And I couldn't find one dish that said failure on it. Hallelujah! And I looked again real carefully. From one end of the table to the other. And I couldn't find one bowl, one dish on it that said discouragement. That table over real good. From one end to the other. And I couldn't find one single bowl, one single dish that had sickness and disease on it. Glory. Hallelujah. But then I turned around and looked back. And I saw the enemies. One of them had a name on it, said discouragement. Another one had a name on it, said sickness. Another enemy had the name on it, said defeat. Another one had a name on it, said failure. But they couldn't get up there where I was. Amen. Oh, there's a whole bunch more of them, all right. And they kept motioning me. Come over there. No, I turned back around and sat here at the table. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I'm seated at the Father's table. I'm not concerned. In fact, I'm not even looking back what's back there. Defeat, failure, discouragement, sickness and disease. Oh, yeah. Glory to God, they don't have any part with me. Amen. They're back there somewhere. I'm seated at Father's table. Hallelujah. So don't forget where you're seated. Hallelujah. The devil comes with a doubt and unbelief. Just rebuke him. Get your eye on the table. There's not any discouragement there. There's not any failure there. There's not any defeat there. So you're not partaking. There's not any sickness or disease. In fact, the children's bread, healing is there. Keep partaking of what belongs to you. He prepares a table before us. Is it an empty table? In the presence of our enemies. That's the reason I'm laughing. That's the reason I'm glad. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, you better go before I get to preaching. Amen. I've preached before the children's healing bread, but I just saw some things a little different today. Got a fresh revelation. It'll fit in somewhere else. Something the Holy Ghost gives you less. Don't forget where you're seated. Keep your eye on the table, not on the enemy. You see, if your eye's on the table, you're going to keep talking about what belongs to you and what's there in front of you, and you're going to keep eating. But your eye's on the enemy, you're going to keep talking about him. Glory! Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he invites his children, come and dine, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Glory! Say, I'm feasting at Jesus' table. You're dismissed.